Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity and welcoming me in your church. I have heard great things about Stonebridge. My family love you guys, and I just already feel like a part of this church and a part of this family. I have been here since Tuesday, and I just felt all the love that my aunt is Kelly and Alex, they were here last year, and they talk about how great you guys are, and I understand what she said. My name is Hannah. My name is Hannah. I'm 20 years old, and I am a missionary candidate for the mission Christians in Action from Brazil. And I'm preparing to go to Japan next year. And I would like to share with you guys a little bit of my testimony, because my testimony is actually the biggest part of what made me become a missionary was the way that I was saved by the Lord. So I was born in a Christian family. I was born in a missionary family, actually. But because you were born in a Christian environment, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. You need to have your personal relationship with the Lord. You need by yourself to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when I was 6 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior with my mom. I remember that, and it was something that I did with my whole heart. I was really young, but I knew what I was doing. But what happened a lot with us as humans is that normally we base our happiness and our peace in people and on the circumstances around us. When I was 7 years old, a lot of things start changing around me and in my life and in my family. And because of that, I became a really anxious kid. I started developing anxiety really bad. My anxiety became so bad that I would have panic attacks. And my panic attacks would got so bad that sometimes I would stop breathing completely. One of those times I was 9 years old and I had a panic attack and my mom had to go to the emergency with me because I'd stopped breathing completely while I was in the car. And she had just start praying for the Lord for me to start breathing again. I was dealing with all of that as a kid, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to deal with all those things and what's happening in my life. When I was 10, I would start having suicide thoughts, and I wanted to take my life at 10 years old. It was a lot of things going on in the mind of a kid being 10 years old. I had so much happening, and one thing that I started doing was having a mask over my face, and I would tell people that everything was okay, and I would act like everything was okay in my life because I didn't want to be a burden in my family. I didn't want to be something else for them to be worried about. But that was so, everything was going, I had so much things going on, and I had everything hiding inside of me. I passed 3 years having suicide thoughts. When I was 13 years old, I wanted to take my life. I wanted to commit suicide. And the only thing that kept me in that moment to not doing that was because I was born and raised reading the Bible. And I did understand that if I did that, I wouldn't be with the Lord because I was away from him. I remember when I was 13, I went to my room, and my room, we had a bathroom, and I went there, and I was in my lowest point. I didn't know anymore what to do. I didn't have any strength anymore. I didn't have any peace, any happiness. I just have so much anger inside of me, and so much anger towards other people and towards me. I just wanted to hurt myself. I wanted me to be the one that feel how much that pain, and I know that was the enemy talking, and it was him at that time. But at 13 years old, dealing with that without having been mature enough to understand, that was a lot. I remember when I was there in that bathroom, I was sitting on the floor, and I was crying, and I wanted so much to commit suicide. I think I was this point to actually do something, because I didn't have strength anymore to handle with all of that. And I remember the Lord talking to me and saying, Hannah, don't do that. Because I am the only one that can heal you. I am the only one that can save you. I am the only one that can give you the true peace that you are searching, and this happiness that you are searching so much on people and what happens or doesn't happen in you. I am the only way. And I remember in that moment, the only thing that I had strength to do was saying, Jesus, please save me. It was the only thing that I had strength to do. And I said, Jesus, please save me. And in that moment, it was like, immediately, first time I got to say that word. I never remember how to say. I just started feeling so much peace. So much peace. And I saw the Lord actually there with me and help me through that. After that point in my life, the Lord started healing me from my anxiety, and I didn't have panic attacks anymore. I was healed from all my anxiety. I was healed from my depression, and the Lord started teaching me that my peace, my happiness, and my hope is not on people, is not on circumstances around me, but it is in the one that saved me, from the one that saved me from my own thoughts that wanted to kill me. If I'm here today, it was because of the Lord's mercy in my life. Because I know if it wasn't him, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I know it's him in my life. He is the reason that today I can be here and talking with you guys. Because he was the one that helped me pass through all of that. When I was 14 years old, I started asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Because when I give my life to you, I understood that you wasn't be just my savior, but you were supposed to be my Lord. And when you're a Lord of my life, you are the one that decides what happened in my life. And I start praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know I'm young, but what do you want me to do? You did so much in my life. I just want to do something for you. And what I can do is give my life to you for you to make the decisions. And the Lord told me, Hannah, I want you to go and reach those people that don't know about me. Those people that were the same way that you were, without peace, without happiness, without hope, and tell them and show them that there is a way. There is one that is the way, it is the truth, and it is the life. It's me, Jesus Christ. I want you to go and do that. After that, I remember that I start praying every day for the Lord to actually confirm it to me that was what he wanted me to do with my life. And I prayed for 2 years, every day asking, Lord, confirm it to me in your word that's what you want me to do. And when I was 16, the Lord gave me this verse that is in 1 Corinthians. If you guys would like to open with me, because English is not my first language. So sometimes I might say something wrong, so it's better for you to read with me for you to be able to understand what I'm saying. So 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, wound is into me if I not preach the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed into me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I might make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I might not abuse my power in the gospel. For though I be free for all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them more. And to the Jews I became as Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaken through with you. When I stopped reading this, I knew exactly what the Lord was telling me. It was so clear. I know that I have to do everything that I can for the gospel, and for people to be able to know who Jesus is. When I stopped reading this, I remember a conversation that I had with the Lord when I was 15. A lot of things were still happening in my life. I was different at that time. I wasn't the same anymore. But I was asking the Lord, Lord, why would you let everything happen, all those things to happen with me? I am dealing with all the responsibility of other people's choices, not mine. I know that you're never going to let me pass through something that I can't handle it. But what's the final point for all of this? What do you want to teach me passing through all of this in my life? And the Lord told me, Hannah, one day you're going to be able to look and talk to people that have passed through the same thing as you or something similar. And you're going to be able to say to them, I understand your pain. But not just that, you're going to be able to say to them, now look in my life and look what the Lord did, is what he can do with you. We are all living testimonies of what the Lord can do. And the Lord wants to use us as living testimonies. You were saved. You know what you have passed through. You know where you were before Jesus. And the Lord wants to use that. But we need to let him use it. We need to let him use it, our lives, because he's not going to force us to do it. It was my choice to let him do it. I want him to do it. He never forced me to be a missionary or to do that. He gave me a choice, but I know it's the best decision that I can make, the best one. When I was 18, I was about to finish high school, and I started asking the Lord again, Lord, you want me to stay a little bit more here? My parents, they're missionaries in the border of Uruguay and Brazil. You guys actually pray for them, Cleber in Georgia. And I was helping a lot them there in the border working, because I work a lot with kids and teenagers. And I didn't know if the Lord wants me to continue there for a little bit of time or go to Bible school. And I asked the Lord, so what's the next step? You want me to go to Bible school? You want me to continue there? And the Lord told me, you're going to get all your things. You're going to put in your dad's car. And you're going to say goodbye to your family because you're not coming back anymore. Now it's the time for you to go. Is that what I did? Last year, I said goodbye to my family. I went to Bible school. I was trained. And it was one of the best times in my life because it was a time that I depended just in the Lord. He was the one that makes all the decisions in my life. And he was the one supplying for me. It has been almost 2 years that I live by faith. That is the Lord is the one that supplied for me. And last year, the Lord confirmed it to me that I was going to Japan. And I started searching a lot about that country. And actually now I'm going to specifically Okinawa, and in Okinawa I was a part of Japan. And I started searching about it. And I just got so, so sad seeing what is the real reality about Christianity there. And I would like to show a video for you guys. That I found it, and it talks a lot about the real reality of missions in Japan right now, and I think it's something that it's really nice to show you guys, for you guys to see everything. And a lot of you guys are really familiar with Japan, and you know how actually it is, the reality there. My grandparent, he was a missionary there in Japan during the Vietnam War, and he has a book, and he talks about the way that he worked with the local people and the militaries that were there. And people were actually open to learn about Christianity. The thing it is, there's not many people that are willing to go. And the Lord just put in my heart such a love for the Japanese and Okinawa and that country. And I know that's where he wants me to go now. And I understand that it's going to be a hard work. I understand that it's going to take time. So I ask you guys to pray for me. In my plans, I'm going to go in beginning of March. But I still need to get my visa. And I'm raising my support to go. So I ask, please be praying with me. If you would like to be a part of this mission, talk to me after service. I would love to talk with you guys and have you guys with me in this mission. Thank you so much for letting me share. Pray for Japan, pray for that nation, and pray for the Lord to send more missionaries there, because it is a place that is really in need for missionaries and people that are spreading the gospel there. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah. Very few people say they're going to speak for 15 minutes or 20 minutes and actually do that. We tend to be long-winded, but I really appreciate how well she said what she said. So I wanted to share some thoughts. Anna comes from a family that it's an amazing thing. She talked about her great-grandfather. I met her great-grandfather in Okinawa, Japan, because I grew up in Okinawa, Japan. And my father was a civilian working for the U.S. Air Force, and there was a community of Americans there that after the World War II helped build up the island again because it had just been devastated by all the bombing that happened. And there was a need. There was a need for people to bring the gospel. And her great-grandfather was there. I remember when I first became a Christian, we went to a camp, and he was there hosting the camp. And you can see his heart for people. He was a person that had a servant heart. He would care, and he would talk with people. He would listen to kids, and we were, you know, just high school age, and he would listen. And while I was not going to the church that he was at, the church that I was going was very affected by his ministry because the missionaries that started the church that I was at, he helped them get started. And so it's, you know, it's a small world when you're in Okinawa, Japan, you come here to the United States, and then somehow you get connected again with the children of this person, Bill Quisenberry. And he has a book called I Planted a Seed, which is really a very interesting book because it really talks about how he took steps of faith without any assurances and walked forward to try to bring the gospel to people. And so when I thought about that, I was reminded in 2 Timothy what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, picking up from verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. He says to Timothy, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded, and this is the part that I wanted to really point out. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. That word, sincere faith, a genuine faith, unfeigned, it's not a pretense. It's the real deal. And I saw that in her great-grandfather. Later on, I would see that in her grandfather, Ruth and Stan Powers. I got to know them, and I could see it in their children. And now I see it in Hannah, which is so great. And I say that because it's not something to be taken for lightly. When I first became a Christian, and I started reading through the Old Testament, one of the things that really bothered me as I read through the Old Testament was how some people would turn to the Lord, but the generations that followed them were not always following the Lord. In fact, they walked away from God. You see, that's the difference. When there is a genuine faith, that genuine faith becomes lived out in a person's life, and it affects not only their children, but their children's children. It affects people. And that's what I think we want Stonebridge to be about, too. That God has called all believers, all people who are Christians, to be a witness to the world around them. I really respect cross-cultural ministries. One time in my life, I preached a sermon in Japanese. And that took me forever to write the sermon. Because I'm not very good at Japanese. And when she was talking about English not being her first language, I mean, Japanese certainly is not my first language. And it was very difficult for me. But I do remember that when I was speaking to Japanese-speaking Japanese Americans and Japanese first and second generation people, I remember that, yeah, I was reminded of the same thing that Hannah was talking about, that the amount of people in Japan and even among Japanese Americans is a very small percentage of people. In Deuteronomy, I just want to share with you this. You guys know it's called the Shema, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Jesus says that that is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. What does that look like? What does that look like when you say, "I'm going to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength"? He goes on to say this: "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And get this. Verse 7 says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." See, faith was never meant to be something that you just say, "Okay, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to make it to heaven and that's all." Faith was meant to be shared. Faith was meant to be lived out. And so this is an admonition for all of us to make our faith genuine, sincere, that we come before God with a heart that says, "I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and being." You know, if you talk with Hannah, and I hope you will, I mean, this is a big step for her. It's not no small step. It's a huge step. The only thing that I would say is she has a huge God behind her. Amen? Amen? And sometimes the steps we take, we think are so big. But I'm telling you, it's a big step for her. But she's trusting God. And we, in the same way, ought to do the same. Some of you, wherever you are planted, be a missionary. Wherever you are, be a missionary. If you understand what sincere faith and trust in God is about. If not, then come to that place of sincere faith and trust, that you give your heart sincerely to the Lord, and then it becomes genuine. We're going to pray for her, but I want to encourage you. You can't be everywhere in this world. You can't be in Brazil, you can't be in Uruguay, you can't be in Japan, Okinawa, you cannot be everywhere in this world. But God does call people to go to certain places, and you can support that. I know that sometimes people will say to me, "Well, gosh, there's so many causes to support." You're right, there are. You probably get that in the mail all the time, right? You get support this, support this, support this, support this, this, and everyone is urgent. And you think, "How can I do that?" Well, that is why we live in community. We don't just live on the internet. We live in community where we come across people who tell us their personal story to help us understand what that need is. That's why we've recently joined in with the Voice of Refugees, because Laura has helped us understand what the plight of it is, what the plight of refugees are, so it helps us to do that. But that's one of the great things about missionaries, is they share their story. What caused them to come to that place of surrender? And then they in turn tell us about that. And we can be even part of their ministries. Even though we're not there physically, we can be part of their ministries. We studied Colossians, and what did Paul say? "Would you pray for me so that I can share the gospel as clearly as possible?" He looked at all the people he was writing letters to, the Colossians, to the Ephesians, to these different people, and thought, "You're part of this whole family of God, that we pray for each other, that my ministry is part of your ministry." And your ministry is part of mine, and Jaden's part of my family. So I want to encourage you to have some time with Hannah. You know that her family, all the way down the line, have been missionaries, and it's an incredible, I think it's an incredible thing. I mean, I love that. Because so oftentimes we don't see that sometimes. We don't see that. People think that they listen to the faith of their parents, and they don't necessarily aren't attracted to that, to respond to that. But it's a beautiful thing when God works through families and through fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. So we're going to ask her to come up, and then if the staff and the elders would come up here, we want to just pray for her. And then I just want to encourage you. I don't want to take away any more from what she had said, but I want to encourage you to go and really listen to her story and let her tell you about God's call for her. So if people would come up. If you can, just maybe raise your hand toward her and just. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for Hannah's life. I thank you, most importantly, how you have touched her life to bring her to wholeness and peace. Father, I thank you that you are a good God, that you understand the plight of people who might feel so struggling with life that they would contemplate even ending it. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would use those experiences in her life to be able to touch other people with the gospel of Jesus. Father, would you go before her, the church that she's going to be at? Would you prepare her there in Okinawa? And as she continues to just search out your plans for her there. And Lord, just like that video was talking about, of people that don't know you, Lord, would you do a revival? Would you bring people to know you, Lord? Would you work in the land of Japan, Lord, the land of the samurai and all that, and help them to be able to humble themselves before you, O Lord, because you are the God, the ultimate one, and use Hannah for your purposes. And not just her, but the Robesons that we support, and all missionaries in all places. Lord, and help us to be missionaries wherever we are, Lord. We give you thanks and praise, and we give you honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.